Go ahead and take a Bible and open up to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, we're going to start in verse 32 this morning. Acts chapter 9, starting in verse 32. Now as Peter traveled about the country, he went to visit the Lord's people who lived in Lydda. And there he found a man named Aeneas who was paralyzed and had been bedridden for 8 years. "Aeneas," Peter said to him, "Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and roll up your mat." And immediately Aeneas got up. All those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. In Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek her name is Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor, and about that time she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Now Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter sent them all out of the room, and then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." And she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up, and he took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. Now this became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. And Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. Now, the miracles. Miracles served a purpose. They weren't just for people's entertainment or to show power. They served a purpose. And these two miracles served a very useful purpose. The miracles did several things. They accredited the apostles, and here Peter, as men sent by God with authority to speak and act on his behalf. And in that way, miracles were a confirmation of the truth of the message that they proclaimed. Now, in the days before the New Testament was written, it was important that people understood that a man had the authority to communicate the Word of God. So doing what no other human could do was certainly evidence of that authority. The fact that Peter could do such marvelous things and wield supernatural power in the same way that Moses and Elijah and Elisha had, and then in the same way Jesus had, proved that God was working through Peter. Now, it's not an accident that the miracles of the apostles were so similar to the miracles performed by Moses, Elijah, and Elisha, and by Jesus himself. The apostles were being identified in that way with both the great Old Testament prophets and with Jesus. They wielded the same power, and their word had the same authority. But these particular miracles are recorded here at the end of chapter 9, where Luke seems to be interested in this, in demonstrating in both cases an important message. And that message is that Jesus Christ himself was at work in this ministry of Peter and the other apostles. And for that matter, in the ministry of Stephen and Philip. And what those miracles account, what the accounts are intended to demonstrate, is that Jesus Christ is alive and at work in the world. Not only was he not dead, he was not an absent figure. He was present with his people as he had promised that he would be. And we notice that this point is made an emphasis in the accounts that we just read. The miracles that Peter performs here closely mimic the Lord's own miracles. The healing of Aeneas looks an awful lot like the healing of another paralyzed man that we find in Luke's Gospel, starting in chapter 5, starting in verse 17. Now on that occasion, you might recall that the man was dropped down through the roof of the house, and the paralyzed man was told to rise and get up off his bed and walk, just like Aeneas was here. And the parallel is even more precise in the case of Tabitha when compared with the miracle of the resuscitation of Jairus' daughter that we find in Luke chapter 8. And just as Jesus had done, Peter sent the mourners out of the room. And the words he said to Tabitha, lying dead before him, are very like the words Jesus spoke to the dead girl. And several commentators were at great pains to point out that if Peter spoke to Tabitha in Aramaic, as seems likely since she's identified as Tabitha first, there would only actually have been one letter difference between what the Lord spoke and what Peter spoke. The Lord would have said Talitha, which is little girl, Kaum, and don't quote me on the pronunciation, but it's little girl, get up. And Peter would have said Tabitha Kaum, which is Tabitha, get up. And finally, as the Lord had taken Jairus' daughter by the hand, Peter gave Tabitha his hand. The extent to which Peter was consciously imitating what the Lord had done, we're not sure. But that Luke took the time to report the similarities between the occasions and draw our attention to the similarities seems significant. So attention is drawn to the fact that Peter does what Jesus had done, which you would have to agree was fairly remarkable, yes? Having dead people come back to life is certainly worthy of note. Luke places special emphasis on the fact that it was by the power of Jesus that the healings were performed. Now, in the case of Aeneas, Peter makes the point quite explicit, telling the man not simply that he was being healed by the power of Jesus, but he says, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Peter was reporting what was happening to the man. He was not doing it himself. Jesus did the healing. It was not as if Jesus had given the apostles the random power to heal sick people. Jesus healed the sick man. Peter makes that point more powerfully in the case of Tabitha when he knelt and prayed by the body. He was clearly asking the Lord for a result that he knew perfectly well he couldn't do. He being Peter in this case. Now the resulting miracle was the answer to Peter's prayer. Power was clearly being unleashed without question. But Peter was the last person to think that it was his power or that he had effected those cures. Third, it is not accidental that the word Peter used in commanding both Aeneas, who was not dead, and Tabitha, who was, to get up. It's the same word that God used when he raised Jesus from the dead. It's the word that Luke uses three times in the last chapter of his gospel to refer to the Lord's resurrection. The miracles became signs of the eternal life and conquest of death that Jesus accomplished. The risen Christ shared his life and power over death with other people. Fourth and finally, a great point is made of the fact that it was to Jesus that the credit for the healings was given by everyone. And the results of the miracles were precisely that large numbers of people believed in Jesus. If you look in verse 35, where Luke emphasizes the impact of Aeneas' healing, it says that all the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw Aeneas walking normally. And no doubt they also heard of the account of what happened to him, and they turned to the Lord. And what's emphasized is how many became Christians as a result of those miracles. But no one apparently made the mistake of thinking they needed to worship Peter. And so, in the case of Tabitha, the women who had washed her body and who had begun to prepare her for burial, together with the other believers who were there, they saw her walking toward them and coming out of the room. They heard her speak, and after they had shed tears of joy and hugs, they went out and told other people what they'd seen. And what was the result? Luke says, well, many of the people in the town believed in the Lord. And that's true in many cases in the New Testament. When the Lord's disciples were sent by him on a preaching tour and given authority to perform miracles, raise the sick, and cast out demons, it resulted in great curiosity about Jesus, not about the apostles. Nobody assumed that the power was in the apostles. They wanted to know more about Jesus, the men were serving. And it was clear to almost everyone that the power didn't rest with these men, but with Jesus, whom they had served. We do have one example where the people who watched the miracle wanted to praise the people who performed it. But as a general rule, the apostles were very, very careful about who received the credit for the miracles. You might remember that Acts began with the descent of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that Jesus said He would send in His place. And in Peter's sermon, he made clear that it was Jesus who had sent the Spirit, Jesus who was present by the Spirit, and Jesus who was calling the nations to Himself. Now, through Acts, this seems to be Luke's point. Jesus is present in the world by His Spirit. And from time to time, that veil is drawn back and people are able to see Him. Paul saw the glory of Christ, and he heard Jesus address him by name. None of those who had become Christians on Pentecost or afterward had seen Jesus or heard Him. But now, in Peter's two miracles, we're reminded that whether you can see the Christ or and His glory, or whether you can hear His voice, it is still Jesus' presence and working in His Holy Spirit. Jesus is here because Jesus was there. Jesus is in heaven, but He is also on earth by His Spirit, and He is able to act and speak. If you want to know what the book of Acts is about, it's largely about this, that Jesus, who ascended to heaven and who sent the Holy Spirit in His place, is at work in the world through that Spirit. He said before He ascended to heaven that He would be with His disciples until the end of the age. And He had taught His disciples that where two or three followers were met together, He would be there in the midst of them. And He would be there, and He was there. We know this, of course. But then you and I don't always show it too much of the time. We don't necessarily live with the consciousness that the Lord is present to help us, to provide for us, and sometimes to correct us. We don't always live our lives, even when we imagine that we are completely alone. We don't live our lives alone. And you know that we're not alone, right? Jesus is with us in spirit. And these great miracles are demonstrations of that fact. Acts is the same story of the kingdom of God, the rule of Jesus Christ and His ministry in the world, as were the Gospels. Jesus is the same now as He was then. It's the same Jesus, but not physically, not immediately, not visibly present, but He's present in His Spirit. All the words in the world cannot describe what a difference that presence must make. Luke's whole interest in those miracles is to accent his main point, that Jesus was there in Lydda, Jesus was there in Joppa, Jesus healed the sick, Jesus raised the dead. And even if He did it by the power of the Holy Spirit and used the words of the disciple, it was Jesus. So obvious was the fact of His presence that nobody there failed to grasp it. They turned to Jesus in great numbers. To the one who had healed Aeneas and raised Tabitha, Jesus was there. And they didn't have a choice but to believe because they could see the result. Luke leaves us in no doubt that it isn't always and won't usually be so obvious. Miracles were exceedingly rare. Otherwise, they wouldn't be miracles. Appearances of the Lord, such as they were made to Stephen and Paul, were rarer still. But the raising of the spiritually dead is happening all the time, and it happens here. Tabitha's was the only dead body brought back to life. But her resurrection was the cause of a great many who were spiritually dead being raised to life. And Jesus did it. And we need to try not to miss the point. Jesus is here for us, to help us, to respond to our prayers, to love us, to save us. He is, by His Spirit, next to us and near to us as He was to those people. And that's the lesson of Luke's history. We are not alone. We're not by ourselves. Every moment of every day, He is with us. His power, His love, His truth, His care, and yes, sometimes His frown on our activities. He is no less with us than He was with the disciples. The fact changes the meaning of life, and more important still, changes the opportunity that lies before every human being. The Lord is present and here, but what do we do about it? Do we ignore Him, or do we turn to Him for help and salvation? If you had been in one of those homes during one of these miracles, you would probably live the rest of your life alert to the fact that Jesus was with you. You would be conscious of His presence and live your life practicing His presence, turning away more from temptation because He was there to see you, but turning to Him repeatedly for grace or advice. You cannot possibly deny how much it would change your life if you could see the Lord walking beside you in every moment of your day. This picture, how much would it change your life if you could see Jesus standing beside you? We talked about that a little this morning in Brother Pierce's class. We know that the Spirit indwells us. But unfortunately, many of us are like those people who look in a mirror and then forget what we saw. How careful would it make you of your words and actions if you could see Jesus beside you? How often would you turn to Him for advice or comfort or strength? How much encouragement would you get to be able to see the Lord? The Lord is with us, and that's what it means to believe in Him, to know that He is with us now, here with us as surely as He was by the Sea of Galilee. True enough, belief and faith, however strong, is not and cannot be the same as sight. Paul reminds us that we live by faith and not by sight, and we need to wait for sight. And there is a difference, to be sure. To trust in the presence of Jesus Christ that we cannot see puts us in the situation of a blind man who is cut off from the world because he can't see it. But no one doubts that even the blind man knows the rest of the world is really there. He has the evidence of that in 100 ways, and so it is with Christ. That we cannot see Him doesn't mean He isn't there. These miracles remind us of that fact and assure us that Jesus, who was in Lydda and Joppa, is also in Melbourne. And because of that, it is ours to live accordingly. The Lord Jesus, in His glory and power and love, is with us every moment of the day, which is why we can confidently say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" In 1 Corinthians 3:16 we read, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you?" It is a sobering thing to realize that we are not alone. To realize that the impact of Christ's life is still felt. Because most of us in this audience have already accepted Christ as our Savior. And that needs to make an impact in our life, in our behaviors, in how we live with each other. This morning, if you have need of being baptized, or indeed you have any needs with which the corporate body can be of assistance, you can come together now as we stand and as we sing.